is the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. Just had a great conversation with David Harrison. If you missed that, you can go back and watch the YouTube restream. Or you can check it out wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, TuneIn. We're literally everywhere. We are impossible to miss. You don't have an excuse to miss us. Lynette Willingham with me now in studio. He was out there in Ashburn today as well. But before we get there, I don't want to say that I thought of you with this story, but I did read this story and I was like, this would be interesting. You just happened to be here. And I was like, well, this would be interesting to get Linnell's take on this. Christian Wilkins was let go from Las Vegas. have you seen this?
No, I haven't, but I...
So he was let go and they tried to void his contract, right? And part of it was because he was not doing rehab the way that they wanted him to. And then yesterday, there was a tweet that went out and said there was a weird incident.
Yeah, I saw that
took place. There have now been rumors on what this weird incident is. Allegedly, Christian Wilkins had multiple, as in more than one instance, of tickling teammates' toes.
Oh, this is, I've also heard other body parts.
So John Feliciano, I don't know where they overlapped with each other. I think they overlapped in Miami. Quote tweeted, it was like, he's done some freaky stuff before.
And
big grab ass guy.
When a player is taking to Twitter, I don't really know who John Feliciano is. When he's taking to Twitter and saying he's a little freaky, you know he's a lot freaky. Yeah. There's a lot going on there. Apparently he is tickling toes.
And grabbing ass and having fingers slip probably to places that they shouldn't
wait,
be going.
So is that... Are you?
I didn't read that one. So
no, I've heard that one. I didn't read it, but I did hear it.
I just... The toe tickling... This is a line you got to draw. Weird stuff happens in a locker room, first
weird,
of all.
I mean, the locker room is a safe haven.
I think people need to understand that. My freshman year of high school, we had this kid, what was his name, Cam, and he like had these Superman tighty-whities that he would wear around. He was a senior, and he was packing. I mean, and that was the point.
You're just outing secrets now.
People like twist nipples and do all types of stuff in a locker room. It's a locker room. But
yeah,
tickling feet is a little egregious.
Yeah, I feel like doing that in like high school is one thing. Yeah. And then doing it as a professional, you're like, I would have thought you grew out of the tickling of the feet.
We're adults, man. Let's relax.
Like, let's relax.
I can't believe I just said that about that guy from my...
You didn't drop a last name, so it's...
Well, that was crazy.
Yeah, that's a common
fact
name.
I said it about another man.
I was going to let you get past it. all right, so you were out there... Pushing through entirely.
Yeah.
Pause again. You were out there at training camp. We've talked a lot about 32, Bill, as we like to call him now.
Bill.
What did you see from him? Tell me about the collision with him and Tyler Owens meeting in the hole and him winning the battle.
Yeah, so first and foremost, the Commanders' rushing offense today as a whole was like non-existent. The defensive line did a really nice job of really whipping ass at the point of attack and not allowing them to get much movement. The two or three pop runs that I saw, one came from B-Rob, and then two came from Bill. And the first one that came from Bill does a nice job pressing the hole, and then the jump cut happens. Good jump cut that gets him about 4 yards. I'm talking about 4 yards before he gets touched. The play in which he meets Tyler Owens in the hole, Bill gets it, cuts back from left to right, makes it through the hole. Tyler Owens is obviously one of the final lines of defense as a safety. He comes screaming up, but Ja'Cory protected himself, lowered his pad, and we got a nice late July thud is how I would describe it. A nice late July thud. You heard pads pop, and it was cool. It's two young guys that, have a real, real good chance to make this team.
Is B-Rob still definitively running back one?
Not even close. I'll be real with you, and this is going to, depending on how the numbers game shakes out at tight end and wide receiver, Bill might not make the roster. They may try to stash Ja'Cory on the practice squad. There are things we haven't seen from him yet that like he's going to have to do to make the team, pass protection and playing special teams if you're going to be the fourth running back or third running back.
Do you think he's fourth or third? Because it feels like the way that they've...
There are days when I watch where he didn't get snaps early on in practice. Like he's,
Right. But it feels like that is amped up a little bit to the point where I see him a lot more Now, you've been there more than I have, obviously, but I've seen him a lot more than like a Chris Rodriguez or Jeremy McNichols.
Yeah, those are the two guys that I would say, if they keep four, I think the final spot, obviously, B-Rob's a lock, Eckler's a lock. Mm-hmm. Some people are going to say Ja'Cory's a lock. I think McNichols is a lock. He's the guy that has the special teams prowess. Him right. and C-Rod play teams. That's got to be a thing for you. So I think that'll be the determining factor. Now, obviously, if Bill comes out in the joint practices and looks, comes out like gangbusters, he's going to make the team.
Right.
He hasn't done anything to me yet to where I'm like, oh, snap. Like that's the guy.
Like, shining.
He's better than Brian. Like, he hasn't done anything to separate himself, is how I would put it.
Because the Brian Robinson thing, I was frustrated with Brian Robinson last year the same way that most were, because the expectations I set were very high. And he did not exceed those expectations statistically. But I don't want him just to be cut.
Right.
And it feels like there's a segment of the fan base. We got a couple callers today that said, you know, he's going to be gone. If he's not. Yeah, wow. That's what I'm saying. I was like, I don't know that the running back room is that stacked to where you're just going to let Brian Robinson walk. I don't know if he'll be on the team next season, but I still think you get at least one more year out of him and see what can we do second year in the offense, offensive line hopefully a little bit better throughout the course of the season, and statistically, hopefully you get, I don't know, 800 yards. He's never gone over 800, so hopefully you get something like that.
I think that's fair. Also think like him being healthy down the stretch is going to be a big part of this too. He was nicked up, was well documented. I think it was the Cowboys game where we thought he like broke his ankle. Remember that? And then he ends up being like a hamstring injury, something weird like that. His health down the stretch was a big factor, but you hit it right on the head. The interior three last year of Allegretti, Cosmi, and Biadasz got spanked at times down the stretch, man. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia, they struggled. Brian Brisi and the Saints were able to penetrate against them. Also, Diggy Zuwa and the Cowboys did well against them. So,
and some of that was Dieter, not Biadasz.
Yes.
And you like that, we hope that Biadasz, I mean, I fell in love with that guy, because once they put Dieter in and it was a drastic difference, like, all right, get Biadasz back in. Like, I don't want him hurt again. So that played a factor into it too.
Yeah, 100%. So, like, running back's going to be interesting. It's hard to, obviously, it's the first day at pad, so evaluating that position at this point is interesting. But I feel like overall they're going to be better at that spot, talking about running back. Yeah. I think the competition that's there makes everybody better. I think Brian Robinson has looked good in terms of like quickness and things of that nature, but it's hard to really evaluate that spot until pads, and then you'll get an even more extensive look when you're in New England practicing against the Patriots.
You know what's crazy is, because that Brian Robinson, I think it was Mark in Largo, he said that Brian Robinson is going to get cut. And I looked at numbers, and I was like, you know, Brian Robinson is averaging, he averaged last year 4.3 yards a carry.
Not bad.
He just didn't carry a lot. He's never gone, he's gone over 200 carries once. That was his rookie year in 2022.
Where he was shot for the first month of the season?
Yeah, ironically, crazy. It's the fewest amount of games that he played, but the most amount of carries.
Because they didn't have any other offense.
They had nothing else going on there. And that was kind of when Antonio Gibson started to decline a little bit in terms of your general run. But he averaged 4.3 yards a carry, just only carried the ball 187 times. So if you give him 13 more carries, I'm not saying he's going 1,000 yards and 13 more carries, but you're at least over 800.
The way this offense looks right now, trying to throw the football on the perimeter, they're going to play a lot more big boy football, using the tight ends, using multiple running backs, because right now, I mean,
today, it's a big difference without Terry, huh?
And Noah. Not like you're starting to appreciate Noah Brown more, too. Yeah. Like, guys just can't separate. Guys just can't win. Now, Debo and Jaden hooked up on a nice pass, that over route that we saw him hit to Zach Ertz a lot. He hit Debo on that today. KJ Osborne's made a couple of contested catches.
Apparently, he today was looking fast, is what I read.
He's a pro. Yeah. Like, he's the guy in that room. Him, Michael Gallup, I have circled, because it's like they've done it before. Luke had a drop today where it's like you just can't drop that pass. Now, it's good coverage from the defensive back, but like the ball's hitting you in the chest. You got to squeeze it and bring it in.
Yeah.
So he's been up and down throughout camp. Everyone had a love affair with Ja'Cory Brooks.
I don't really get that. I mean, I get it, but I don't get it. Like, he's talked to him. He's a different name. Yeah. Had a couple good games at Louisville. Nice kid. Like, I really enjoyed talking to him for like the 90 seconds, 2 minutes or whatever that I did. But he has some drop issues.
Making contested catches, and it's Terry's specialty. It's like Buddy Baker and company, like their negotiating tactic is working, because
I mean, this has been a good week for them.
Yeah, I mean, like, the offense looks
good. Days, yeah.
They look horrible at times on offense with the way the passing attack looks on the numbers.
Has he been a distraction?
Terry?
either Terry or Buddy Baker.
I wouldn't say so.
It's not often that the agent is just kind of looming. It's like, it's a little like Scott Boras-esque. Like, yeah. Remember when a couple years ago when Juan Soto was at All-Star Weekend and Scott Boras was just hovering over him?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Buddy Baker being there is a little bit like that, but I get it. You're in the building. You're
it's like,
negotiating.
It's like earlier this year, Boras was sitting with James Wood's parents.
Yeah,
in a game. Like, I was like, oh, God.
Damn.
So, yeah, that obviously is, interesting, but I still preface all my comments by saying it's early during this portion of camp. They're practicing with a lot of effort and tempo. I love the way that they go through practice. It's so much different than a Ron Rivera practice.
So much different.
In terms of just the physicality and how hard they're going.
And also having fun.
Having fun, competing.
Like going hard and having fun at the same time is something that we never saw in the Ron era.
Seems like that's what makes up good football teams, man. But I think the biggest probably standout to me of camp is really two things. One, the offense and their inability to have guys win on the perimeter and then come down with the catch. And then two, for a group that like had a lot of question marks heading into this, this defensive line looks damn good. They're deep.
Yeah.
They're big. They're multiple. They can got guys that can play in different spots. That's that in the wide receiver group on the perimeter and their struggles have probably been my biggest takeaway here.
When is it fair to really start paying attention to how they're rotating guys on the defensive line? Because obviously first day, Von Miller had a rest day. Like
he rested today too.
Yeah, they have a bunch of rest days with the veterans, but eventually like you'll start to notice something. It's like, is there a point in time where you're like, all right, like we're noticing X player is getting a lot of reps at this spot?
Today. I think starting today, like you're going to start seeing the difference and guys getting more of an opportunity. The numbers game at that spot is going to be interesting, right? Four starters, and then all of those starters aren't going to play 100% of the snaps, so you need four backups, and then you got to have a body or two for injuries. So they're going to keep anywhere from 8 to 10 defensive linemen. How they split that number up is going to be interesting, right? Because they got guys that can play inside and out, so maybe you can afford to keep one extra wide receiver because you've got Jalen Holmes, who can rush from the edge rusher spot and then from the three tech spot at tackle. So The numbers game there is going to be interesting. Johnny Newton popped today for the first time throughout camp. He had a play where completely, snuffed out a screen and made a big time play. Javon Kinlaw has done a nice job pushing the pocket. All of them have done a nice job.
I was going to ask about Kinlaw. I saw that video. He was sitting down with a television reporter. I don't know TV reporters.
It was
names.
Natalie Spaloff. Yes. Of Seven. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't want to get her call letters wrong. Like, she actually works for this channel. Like, no, she works for this channel. But I saw that video, and, he's sitting down, so it's not like you don't get the greatest gauge in the world. But he's a big dude, man. He can take up a lot of space on that interior.
Yeah, he can. And the thing I love about him is he could play head up over the center. He could play inside shade of the guard. He could play outside shade of the guard. Like, there's just different spots you could put him at, depending on who else you want to surround him with. The thing I keep saying, and we talked about this yesterday when you hopped on with me, as far as the defensive line goes, I think stopping the run has got to be their first priority because it unlocks everything else. Like, Von Miller is great, right? Frankie Louvu, I think, can be really good off the edge. Javonte, Dorrance, they've shown things. They got to earn the right to rush the passer, though. If you're getting blown off the ball and now you're in 2nd and 6 and 2nd and 5 instead of 2nd and 9 and you can't pin your ears back, it's going to be hard. So the thing I keep saying is they've got to earn the right to unleash Von Miller and Frankie Louvu by winning on 1st and 2nd down more, something they really struggled with a lot last year.
You were at camp last year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was both for Jaden and Mikey rookie years.
Yeah.
How different do they look now in terms of comfortability, just being out there?
I think Dan Quinn said it on day two. Their maturation process started last year.
Yeah.
During the season.
Which is crazy.
You saw them get better, right? We saw them get better in season. Jaden was the obvious one to see, but Mikey's play recognition is just out of this world. The tackling, the physicality. They've both, they look like heart and soul guys of your sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Like, Jaden obviously is the focal point of the offense, but Mikey, with his smarts, man, it's awesome. He takes everything serious. He's always going hard. Me and you have a special affinity for him because of his belief in the Lord. But, he's just an all-around dude, bro. And I think he is somebody that may not be the biggest, may not be the fastest, may not be the strongest, but you know what you're going to get from him. One thing that Coach Simmons told me after day one is that him and Jonathan Jones have kind of been, in lockstep in terms of him picking his brain because Jonathan Jones is a good player. Super Bowl winning champion, a guy that started a lot of games in this league.
There were points in time where, I don't know that he was top five, but there were points in time in New England where you looked at him and like, that's a top 10 dude.
Yeah, he's one of the best outside slot corners in the NFL. And when you think about his physical profile compared to Mikey, the ability to drop nuggets onto Mikey as to how to recover, how to take care of yourself, all of that is going to be huge. The one thing I keep saying about the secondary and the success they've had, are they having success because our wide receiver group is average?
Right.
Are they having success because guys have taken a step forward in the second year of this defense? So,
two more for you here. I appreciate the time. Do you imagine that it's going to be Amos and Marshawn on the outside, Mikey on the inside? Because that trio, in theory, sounds like a really good list. And I don't know where you're going to find, as an opposition, matchup wins there. Because like, I'll take Mikey versus almost anybody in the slot.
So going back to my conversation with Coach Simmons, he like corrected me. I said, you know, Mikey's moving back to the slot full time. He stopped me and said, oh, no. Mikey is going to play both outside and inside. So obviously it'll be something that's situational. I don't know if that's just coach speak. They're not trying to pigeonhole him to one spot. But, yeah, I think that's probably going to be your starting corner tandem week one. Trey Amos has been the real deal. Of the youngins, like of the first and second year guys, he's looked the best. He looks comfortable, looks like he belongs. Now he's not going up against any. Let me not, and I'm trying not to be disrespectful to the other guys.
I think that is fair, though, because you're winning matchups against, with all due respect, guys like Chris Moore, and Chris Moore's not Terry. Like,
right.
You understand there are
not
nuances,
a number one.
There are nuances that Terry has. There's a reason that Terry is being discussed for a third contract that would potentially put him as a top five player at his position. And then you're going up against guys that never got that. Been in the league a long time, so there's stuff that Chris Moore could provide, but he's not Terry McLaurin. He's just not.
I think that's a fair way to put it, but to give credit to Amos, I think the Patriots practice is going to be huge, man.
Yeah.
Your guy, Pop Douglas, Kyle Williams, Stephon Diggs.
It'll be interesting to see guys like Lattimore and Amos go up against Diggs, who is, for whatever he is in terms of age, he is a route-running savant.
Yes.
That's always what he's been.
Yes.
Final question for you. I said at the beginning of the show, when talking about the Terry news, my panic meter is not going to move unless we get to that first preseason game and there's no deal. Do you think that a deal is done by the time we get to August 8th?
Next week?
Next week with Terry. No?
No. I think this thing has a chance to drag into the regular season. The fact that...
Does that mean Buddy Baker's going to go home at some point? I don't think he lives here. Maybe he does, but I don't believe that.
And
he
ain't got no other clients out this way, so...
Except for the kid in Baltimore.
Yeah, so let me not... So maybe that's a part of the reason he's here, too.
But look, he got signed already, so you don't need to be around him that much.
So there we go. About where the Terry thing stands, I think him showing up yesterday was more of a byproduct of like them changing their strategy from the agency side of saying, hey, we can't keep having you rack up all these fines because with the new CBA, you can't waive them. I don't think
you can only
any...
pay $50,000 for yoga so many days.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. It's been a weird situation. I think I still go back to the Easters Automotive Group shoot and like Terry continuing to like, you know, voice his frustration about a lack of clarity. They're talking now. I'm sure they've, patted him on the back and told him how much they love him and want him. But obviously the dollar amount that they sign him to is going to speak to that. They got to bring, if they're going to play this game with him, they got to bring somebody else in. They don't have the bodies.
No, they don't.
They don't have the skill to me.
Especially with Noah on the pump.
Now, and this is what I was talking to a beat reporter on the sideline today. Like when you don't have Noah and Terry out there, you know what a defensive coordinator is going to say? We're just going to go man because we think our corners can strap you. That's where Jaden Daniels comes into play. You can't play man against Jaden or else he's going to take the hell off.
Right.
So I think the mindset that Adam Peters has is, well, as long as we've got Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury, we'll be able to manufacture offense.
Right.
Is that a risky game to play for year two of a kid? Maybe. But I got five on it. You know?
Yeah, I got five. Anytime you got five, you're going to be in a good spot.
You feel good.
I don't love the idea of taking away wide receiver one, but anytime you got five on it, you got good. Yeah. Linnell, appreciate it as always,
sir.
My friend. You'll be with us a couple more times this week because we get to talk football. So we are soaking it up as much as possible. That is Linnell Willingham. When we get back, something that Jaden Daniels told SportsCenter, that's if you're not hyped for football season already, it'll get you hyped for football season. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980.
All right, here is what's trending on this Monday, July 28th. Happy first day of Pats to all who celebrate. Terry McLaurin has shown up to camp. He is placed on the PUP list with an ankle injury. Terry and his agent Buddy Baker are both at camp, and as both sides, the team and Terry, continue to work towards an extension to keep him in Washington past 2025. Santana Moss, it was announced yesterday he will be inducted into the Commanders Ring of Fame. The ceremony will take place September 7th against the Giants to open the season. The Mystics, they fall last night to the Phoenix Mercury, 88-72. Shakira Austin led the team in scoring with 20 points on 8 of 18 shooting. The Nats, they take down the Minnesota Twins 7-2. Jake Irvin gets the credit for the win after giving up only 2 earned runs and 5 hits. C.J. Abrams kicked off the scoring in the first inning with a bomb to right center field. They will take on the Astros tonight. First pitch at 8:10. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 7:40. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980. Hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.